Mission of Trinity Baptist Church is to obey Christ's commands together. We want to talk about today how we can specifically do that, but before we can talk about specifics, we have to answer thoroughly one simple question. What are Christ's commands? What are Christ's commands? We talk in Christian circles, we talk about two major commands. Matthew 28:19, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey what I command. And that leaves us with a question again, what does he command? If his first command is to go and train people to obey, what is his command? Please open your Bible to John 13. John 13, 34. Trinity Baptist Church, the Bible is over 1,000 pages. And I really want you to see today that this verse summarizes. This verse is primary. If you want to live a life of obedience to Jesus Christ, this is the verse. Focus your life on this verse. Look at it. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. He says it again in John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. He says it again in verse 17. This is my command, love one another. This command is primary. This is Jesus' command. It is repeated over and over and over again in the New Testament. Look carefully at just a sample of the verses that talk about this theme. Romans 13:8, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you. Why? For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. 1 Peter 1:22. Do we have that one, Jessica? Okay, 1 Peter 1:22. Listen to it as I read it. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. Fervently love one another from the heart. Now 1 Peter 4:8 on the screen. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. 1 John 4:11-12, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Trinity Baptist Church, you are here because you want to live lives in obedience to Jesus Christ. This is his command. Focus your life on this. Get up every morning, devote yourself to this. It's not easy, but it's not complicated. Love one another is his command. In your notes, number two, our lives should be focused on loving one another. Our lives should be focused on loving one another. I know it's a big book, and we need to read the whole thing, and we need to strive to keep and obey the whole thing. But Trinity Baptist Church, major in this. Do this thoroughly. Our lives should be focused on loving one another. And not only that, number three in your notes, our church should be focused on loving one another. This is Jesus' great commandment. I want to show you some of our brothers and sisters around the world that need love. video talked about one with them bracelets. Some of you have seen these already. They're black bracelets. They say one with them. They look like barbed wire, but I want to assure you that they are not. They're rubber, or kind of a rubber or plastic type of thing. They're right up here. What you do is you wear them, and they're kind of eye-catching. And when someone asks you about them, you simply say, I wear this bracelet today in solidarity for my brothers and sisters around the world who share my faith but not my freedom. I got a bunch of them right up here if you'd like one. Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12:46, Jesus makes this wonderful statement. Matthew 12:46. While he was still speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside, seeking to speak to him. Someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, seeking to speak to you. But Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Now listen to this. Stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. In your notes, number 4, Christ's followers are his family. Christ's followers are his family. Jesus says, whoever does the will of my Father, he or she is my brother or sister or mother. That applies to you. And that applies to our brothers and sisters around the world. You're in Matthew. Turn to chapter 25. In chapters 24 and 25, Jesus is talking about his return to earth. And he keeps telling these parables to teach us that his return will be unexpected, and therefore we should always be ready for his return. And he closes that whole sermon in 24 and 25 with this statement, 25:31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. The righteous will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, in the Gospels we see this over and over again from the Lord Jesus Christ. Truly I say to you, when you see that, brothers and sisters, Truly I say to you, or truly, truly, or King James, verily, verily. When Jesus says that, what comes after is a statement of absolute power and absolute truth. To the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even to the least of them, you did it to me. There is solidarity between Jesus and his brothers and sisters. Let's meet the persecuted church. Let's meet them. Here's a story about a man who was falsely accused and put in prison. Very common. He says this. His name is Tamarat. He says this. The first year in prison was the hardest. Sharing the cramped cell with fierce Muslim criminals, I feared the reaction of my cellmates if they found out that I was a Christian. But it was impossible to hide it. Once it was discovered, a group of them beat me so badly I could not walk or eat for 7 days. Isolated, he received no news and felt forgotten. He had no idea that his lawyer and his friends were fighting for his appeal. This is a quote from him again. For many months, I didn't know that Christians were praying for me. Finally, my appeal went through. While Tamarat was in court, the judge called his name. And out of the corner of his eye, he saw men bowing their heads. And he knew that people were praying for him. For the first time in months, an incredible joy came over Tamarat. 5 months later, after serving almost 2 years in prison, Tamarat was released. The husband and father of two daughters rejoiced, saying, "May all glory be unto him who has sustained and kept me through the dark hours. He has made me stronger and has built my faith. Thank you for your prayers, Tamarat, our brother in Christ." You can see the power of the Holy Spirit. After going through that, he comes out, and what does he say? He says, "All glory to God. All glory to God." Let's meet another one.
Yeah.
What is it that helped Inamika come to faith in Christ? Reading the Bible. What is it that helped her keep her faith? She said it on the video. What helped her keep the faith? Reading the Bible. Her advice at the very end of the video. To those of you who are persecuted, my advice is this. Rely only on God's word. Here in the Coachella Valley, we have what is called the One Hope Project. You've heard about it many times, but those of you that do not know what it is, Desert Christian Academy, Church 212 in Bermuda Dunes, Las Palmas Community Church, Indio, Palm Desert Community Presbyterian Church, New Life Community Church in La Quinta, La Quinta Christian Fellowship Church, and Trinity Baptist Church, us, have come together. We have all come together to do what we call the One Hope Project. In your notes, the goal of the One Hope Project, number 5, the goal of the One Hope Project is to provide every persecuted Christian with their own Bible. The goal of the One Hope Project is to provide every persecuted Christian with their own Bible. Why is this so important? In your notes, number 6. Persecuted Christians need their own Bible to help them grow. Persecuted Christians need their own Bible to help them grow. Let me ask you a question, Trinity Baptist. Let me ask you a question. How much does having your own Bible help you grow? How much does having your own Bible help you grow? What if every persecuted Christian had their own Bible? Thousands do not. What if every persecuted Christian had their own Bible? I'll tell you what would happen. The world would be a radically different place. The world would be a radically different place if these brave brothers and sisters of ours all had their own Bible. In your notes, number 7, persecuted Christians need their own Bible to persevere. Persecuted Christians need their own Bible to persevere. It is incredibly difficult to keep the faith when you are being persecuted. What gives Christians the strength to keep the faith? You heard Anamika say it. I've been pressured many times, she says. What gave her the strength? God's Spirit, certainly, and God's Word. God's Spirit and God's Word. God. We've read Romans 8 many, many times. Please turn there with me. Romans 8, 31. Romans 8, 31. We studied this pretty thoroughly. But I want you, Trinity Baptist, I want you to look at this passage, read this passage from the perspective of the persecuted church. Look at this passage from the perspective of the persecuted church. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised to life, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. The last part's not there. Okay. Well, I've got it here. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want my persecuted brothers and sisters to be able to read that. And that's what the One Hope Project is all about. We give them their own Bibles so they can persevere and keep the faith. And lastly, in your notes, persecuted Christians need their own Bible to know the truth. Persecuted Christians need their own Bible to know the truth. Think about it. How can a Christian tell the difference between true and false doctrine? How can a Christian tell the difference between true and false doctrine? Certainly the Holy Spirit can, does, and will guide all of us. But the Bible is very, very helpful in helping believers know the truth. Where would we be without the Bible? Our brothers and sisters on the other side of the world need it just as badly as we do. I want to give you three things you can do for the persecuted church as I close. Three things. First of all, pray. Pray for the persecuted church. We had the greatest news come through yesterday. For those of you that watched the news, believers all around the world have been praying for Pastor Yosef, the Iranian pastor who is jailed. He was released. And what do you call it when he's declared innocent? Acquitted is what I'm after. He was acquitted and released. God hears our prayers on behalf of our brothers and sisters. If you want to learn more about Pastor Yosef, go to opendoorsusa.org, or I imagine, brothers, you could watch Fox News. It's probably on there, too. Pray for the persecuted church. It works because God hears our prayers. Number two, give. Give financially to our brothers and sisters on the Open Doors website, opendoorsusa.org. There's incredible opportunities to give. And I have some of those in your notes. Number one, send a child whose father has been martyred to school. Number two, or B rather, help train pastors. Help train pastors. These are all opportunities you can do through Open Doors. C, send discipleship material for women who need to meet in secret. D, very important, help a believer learn how to read. E, help give women whose husbands were martyred vocational training. This is a wonderful work of Open Doors that we have an opportunity to participate in. F, provide a Christian with specialized legal counsel if they are on trial. And G, help teach a child how to read. And you can give to the One Hope Project. We collect here at our church. We collect for the One Hope Project year round. $5 gives a Bible to a persecuted believer. Complete. $5 gives a Bible to a persecuted believer. Consider this. Give $5 every time you come on Sunday. Give one Bible to a brother or sister every time you come. All you got to do is take $5, put it in the Trinity Baptist envelope, write One Hope Project on it, put it in the offering plate. Our treasurer will put it in the One Hope Project fund. $5 gives one believer a Bible. And Trinity Baptist collects for that fund all year. What is C, Jessica? What is D, Jessica? Help a believer learn how to read. Thank you. Well, as I close, my question to you is this. What is God calling you to do? How can you serve our persecuted brothers and sisters? Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, Trinity Baptist Church wants to excel in one thing: obedience. Obedience. We can try to excel in a whole bunch of things. Churches all over the world try to excel in a whole bunch of things. Heavenly Father, we want to excel in obedience. We want to love one another. We pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we would love each other and love our brothers and sisters around the world. We thank you. Thank you for setting Pastor Yosef free. In Jesus' name, amen.